help us. Oh, man. Boy, if I fall, it would be great with the fall thereof, I guarantee you. Baby, come play for me again, please. But joy to be here with you this morning. Enjoy the young people. Amen, young folk. Come on now. I got an A. You don't pay much, you don't get much. That's my fan club over there. God bless you. I don't get this in every church. And this is my new secretary right down here in the front. And most churches I go to, some of these churches are a day ed preacher. And they remind me of a morgue. Only the difference between them and a morgue is they're sitting up. And so I enjoy what I get this morning. I enjoy the singing, the song. I enjoy the air. Hello. Fat people sweat, amen. At least this one does. And so I enjoy the good air and the good comfort and good songs of Zion. And I'm Brother Patterson from Reclamation Ranch Ministries. We reclaim young folks from all walks of life. I've had them in my program as young as eight. And I got another boy call me from Florida. My Brother Buddy Maynard, he took a boy in his home, 6 years old. Well, how does a boy get mean at six? But I met him. He's a little spanky. He's a humdinger. And he said, "Hey, big guy, how you doing?" He was 6 years old. I said, "Hey, Squirt, how you doing?" And I was teasing Ruth back there. What's her name? Ruth Irby. Dr. Irby back there. And she was trained by a soul winner up at Hammond. What was that little girl's name? Faye Dodson. And she walked by me one day. She said, "Hey, Green Giant." I said, "Hello, Split Pea. How you doing?" And so as I get older, I'm still witty. But so forth, I often tell Christians, don't lose your sense of humor. You need it. And but I have a tendency of talking fast. I drive fast. I eat fast. But I sleep slow. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, "Brother Patterson, all that you do nowadays, what time you get up in the morning?" I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. I go to the bathroom, go back to bed. Amen. And but it's a joy to be at your church this morning. And my dear wife, Karen, my wife used to be a missionary in China. I told a guy, I met a girl from China. "You married a Chinese?" He said, "No, ain't met no Chinese." I said, "She's from China. She's from Louisville." I call it Louisville. You can tell I'm from Yankee. And I married one of y'all. She's a UK fan, but I'm still sticking with Auburn. God bless you. Don't kill me. I like Michigan too. And but that's a joy to be here with you. I'm gonna try and sing another song for you. And I always like to sing. I don't know if I can sing. I just love to sing. I used to do Motown, all that stuff, you know. And I got saved and God changed the harmony there. Amen. That's called "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." I saw the look come on you. I remember that one. And Duke of Earl, all that jazz. But the Lord saved me from that stuff. My brothers used to sing background from Isaac Hayes, Motown Records, and all that stuff. I got saved from that stuff. I don't want that junk in my life. Amen belongs that. Come on, I feel the spirit moving now. But I got saved from that stuff and life of crime and so forth. And God saved me and redeemed me. And so I just love to sing the songs of Zion. And I'm looking for a song here. I got it picked out right here. And good to be at your church this morning. And it's called "The Haven of Rest," page 378. Many years ago, I got saved in Pensacola, Florida. And a guy stuck a hymn book in my hand. It was a red hymn book. And I sang this song 41 years ago on the streets of Pensacola, Florida. Never sang it in my life. And it's been one of my favorite songs called "The Haven of Rest." You get saved in the blood of Christ. God writes your name down in the Lamb's book of life. Going to glory one day. And we're going home. We're going home. This ain't our home. This world's not my home. Don't get too attached to it. It's all going to burn one day. I'm going to enjoy it while I got it. But it's mine to borrow. It's not mine. But we're getting out of here one day. I hope it's today. I hope you're ready to meet the Lord today. If you're not ready to meet the Lord today, I hope you get saved. And if you are saved, you're not right with the Lord, I pray some things to get right between you and the Lord. Get close to Him. Love on Him. He died for you. Rose again. Went to hell for you. And so that's what this song means to me. It's a great haven. Amidst all the turmoil, the bullets, the darts, the crazy people out here, outside them doors, you can come apart for a while and come enjoy God, enjoy heaven, enjoy some thoughts. God speaking to you in a little church here. Thank God for the haven of rest. My soul, as that exiled, was out on life's sea.
soul burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to His tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the Word, my fetters fell off, and I've anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by His power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. Sing it with me. Come on now. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild sea no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Thank you, baby. I remember one time Brother Olaf was on the broadcast, and somebody wrote him a letter and said, Brother Olaf, I didn't like your singing on the radio. He wrote back, I wasn't singing you anyhow. Amen. I'm singing to the Lord. Amen. So I just like to sing and so forth. hey, I remember those old, take your Bible, open anywhere, it's all good. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I remember those night lights and so forth. And remember those days you wish you may not. You're out there in that nightlife, shucking and jiving, we used to call it. Man, if I ever get out of here, I'll never get here again. Remember those nights? But you did it 3 days later again, so forth. See, Reformation will never change you. It'll take, you got, you know, world. Everything's ADD, CDD, XYZ. Everybody's got a name for everything. It's called S-I-N. That's what it's called. Sin. Okay? And so forth. That flesh likes sin. Now, when God saved you, He didn't save your flesh. He saved your soul. Your flesh is still sinful. Your flesh still likes the sin. Now, Paul said, the sin that is in me, yet not I, but the sin that is in me, I do it not. When you got saved, God washed your insides out. Your inside's sinless. But you'll never out-sin. Your outside will never be sinless. But they asked Lester Olaf one time, he said, Brother Olaf, he said, you ever get those kids where they're sinless? He said, no, but I can get them to a place where they sin less. That's what we're about. And that's when I see young folks come in and get right with God and go off to Bible college and the purple hair and the green hair. And I told one guy, I said, how are you going to fix me up? I said, I can't help them black teeth, man. You get them teeth chained clean, amen. And pull them out and get some new ones. But I've seen them come in, kids just dropped off a bike, getting their life cleaned up, going to Bible college, going to mission field. I got a young man right now, grew up two blocks from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Lost as a goose from Hammond, two blocks. And he come to the Lighthouse with me in 75, and he got saved. He came to Highland Entry College, graduated, married one of the original Faith Trio girls, Mary Lutz. They're now missionaries in Alaska. He was no heroin addict. Amen. Hey, he got off his dope and got some hope. Amen. Feel like some Dallas Smith preaching coming this morning. But that's what it's all about. And I'm not a religious guy. I'm a Christian. They're spelt different. Amen. Religion stuck on a man. Christianity stuck on Christ.
Amen. I told the Sunday school class this morning they had 2020 with liberal Barbara Walters, and I wish I'd gone there one time, just one time. Me and preacher would do it. Can you see us on 2020? Get them off quick. They're crazy. They're fundamental King James, the hellfire, brimstone Baptists. Get them off quick. We'll be right back for station identification. And what happened with your preacher? Oh, they got tied up in another appointment, and they always put the idiots on there, you know, and so forth. And the world's got a David Livingston. But Letterman, God had a David Livingston. You know, God had a, there was a guy named Woodrow Wilson was our president. You know, he had a brother named Robert Dick Wilson who can read and write 26 different languages. And he can read the Bible. Don't think there's a lot of idiots or Christians. No, a lot of intellectual. I think Dave Gibbs is an intellectual man. And Mr. Wilson when he died, and he said, Robert Dick Wilson, 26 different languages he can speak, write fluently. They ask him on a deathbed, of all the Bible you've learned all your life, can you give us some deep truth? And he leaned over and took off his glasses a few hours before he died. He started singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. The greatest news you're ever going to hear, that God loves you. That's the greatest news you're ever going to hear. I don't care what you went through last week and so forth. And I'm going to talk today about decisions. I'm going to talk to you about how making the right decisions in your life. You ever make a bad decision? I got both of my hands up. And my wife said, yeah, I married you, Jack. And but we all make some kind of bad decisions and so forth. And but a lot of times the young folks come in, they got for instance, they want to go to college. What kind of college should they go to? I think when you get saved, you got to surround yourself in a Christian cabinet. I got about 7 preachers in my Christian life. I'm 59. And I'm not an airhead, I think. I'm not a polyparrot, I think for myself. But I have enough sense in the Christian life to surround myself with good, godly people, with wisdom. And we're talking about Dr. Lee Robinson, still preaching before he died, 95 years of age. I met him I saw him again when he was about 92 or 93. He was getting a little wobbly, but he can still remember you. He said, I don't know your name, young man, but you used to work for Lester Roloff. He forgot my name, but he remembered who I worked for. Amazing man of this generation is lost. We lost some great heroes in the last 10 to 15 years. Brother Olaf and, of course, Brother Howes and Lee Robinson. But God got more. He told Elijah got feeling sorry for himself. And he said, Lord, I just think I'll just die. He said, that's okay, Elijah. They got 7,000 tucked away you don't know about. Amen. And God got them tucked away for him and so forth. So I want to take your Bible over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20. And I'm going to read to you going through the passage today. I don't have an outline. I just use the scripture. And I like one preacher said, Brother Jack, I love to hear you preach. You preach the same old sermons. You just yell at different places. So I'm trying to help you there. And this is a story of Jehoshaphat, jumping Jehoshaphat. And he's got a situation because the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and we won't time to go into there, and they were made through the bad testimony of Lot, and these two guys had been Israel's enemies from the time of Genesis. These two nations have been fighting Israel all along, and sometimes our lifestyle messes up our decision factors, and our families pay a lifestyle of hurt the rest of our life because of our bad decisions. Sometimes that's why your moms and dads make those right decisions. What parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. Let me say it to you again. What parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. And I try to lead an example and so forth before I preach today. Me and I had a little tiff from my wife last night. I did some things, and she was mad at me. And coochie, I got to get those kisses, coochie, 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 you know. And I said, honey, I'm sorry. I apologize. She said, okay, sweetheart, I love you. Don't do it again. I'll kill you. And But the name of the game is keeping those things right, and you know, so forth. And thank God for each other, and thank God for kids. And the Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." I think kids, even dads, you offend your children, apologize to them. What happened? Something lodged inside that heart. Are we doing all right this morning? Lodging something inside that heart. But here come the nation of Israel, and there's Jehoshaphat is coming up to him, and he prays to God. And then Jehoshaphat lays down a pattern on what to do when those decisions come. I'm talking about when death comes. I'm talking about when the cancer comes. I'm talking about when divorce comes. I'm against it, but it does happen. You got to deal with it. I'm talking about when the financial crisis comes. What do you do? How do you handle those things? Oh, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Yeah, but I know, but heaven, we're not there yet. See, we're stuck in something called time. Heaven is not time. Heaven's heaven. There was a girl here this morning named Heaven. She was a 6-year-old girl. Was she here this morning? She had red fingernail polish. I said, hey, your fingers are bleeding. What happened to them? But heaven's not time. See, this is not heaven. We're stuck in something called time. Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity and stepped into time. All we have is time. And by the way, mankind is only 6,000, not even 6,000 years old. Billions and billions. And they had a guy up there out west one time digging up the anthropologist. Oh, we found this great rock 2 billion years old. And they found a 20 horsepower Johnson motor engine underneath that rock. Hello? What do you mean by that? Hello. But see, most of my jokes are, you have to catch them later on, okay? What do you mean by that, Wilma? so forth. But hey, but one of these days we're going to step at a time. I hope it's today. Well, maybe if it's not today, I'm going to greet tomorrow. But I'm still stuck here. I still got to live for the now and now. I still got to work. What about the election? What about it? It's all fixed. They got that fixed 20 years ago. A new world order is lining up. It's just coming on in and going on in. All you got to do is do right, win souls to Christ, and lead your family right, and let God take care of the rest. I wish I could give you my phone last night, girls and guys, and filthy stuff, texting me, calling me, and wanting advice about this, and going crazy, and got phone calls from little girls one day, said, Brother Patterson, how do I stop cutting myself? She's 23 years old. How do I stop cutting myself with a butcher knife? I got one guy call me one day. He said, Brother Patterson, he said, my wife's in the house. And it was the pastor. He said, I got a lady in my church and she's shooting at the police. What do I do? I said, get out of the way. Hello, use your head, the woodpecker does. Don't get shot, amen. And I'm saying sometimes we got to have, but sometimes we want that answer for that decision right now. And sometimes we don't get that answer. That's what I want to deal with this morning. Look over here in verse number 11. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 11. And, of course, the battle's on. Look at verse 1, I'm sorry. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass. Woo! Aren't you glad it didn't come here to stay? Yeah, come on. I don't care what you're going through and at work. And do any of you work with idiots at work? Do I get a witness out there? Do any of you work at jerks? Or for ladies, they're jerkettes. Oh, the Spirit's moving here this morning. God bless you. Amen. I hit a good spot. Amen. All right. I'm among human nature. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them and beside the other side of Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Every generation has a battle to fight. You got to have a battle to fight for the Bible. So forth. You got to one day it's going to be against the law to come to church. It's coming. It's coming. You go to Russia, you couldn't have what you had today. I tell you why I like America. You go to Cuba, you couldn't do what you have right now. You go to Sudan and Saudi Arabia, they'd have your head cut off preaching the Bible like you had today. Amen. You got to shout glory to God. You live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank God for America. Thank God for you have a right to choose your freedom in America. That's why it's here. One guy told me the other day, I was witnessing to a guy, and he was a Christian scientist. He said, I'm an American, but I don't like the flag. I said, well, you don't. I said, you're an idiot in other areas of your life. He said, I just don't like the flag. I said, why not? He said, I just think it's too much symbolism. I said, no, it's what it means. It's what it stands for. And I said, I got a nephew right now dodging bullets over in Afghanistan. I said, I respect that flag, what he's fighting for. My nephew came in the program. I had to bring him to my own program. I have had family members come to my own program. I have my own great nephew come in. My nephew, he's 6'9". I'm 6'8". He thinks he'd whoop Uncle Jack. He said, Uncle Jack, I'm going to whoop you when you're about 70. I said, don't forget about the cane. You heard of cane mutiny? I'm going to cane your head in Jesus' name. Amen. I got him off of drugs, got him off of crack cocaine and so forth. He got probation. He got the judge. I took him to a court. I took him to a kangaroo court in Texas where the judge is packing a .45. I said, my man, there won't be no interruption here. And he had, and the judge had five phones in front of his. I'm serious. And he had five phones right in front of his what do you call this thing? Pulpit in front of his judge's chambers. And he said, "All right, get up here and call your lawyer in open court." And the judge heard what the lawyer had to say. Yeah. Counselor, we're going to get this guy. Okay, we'll plea bargain right here. Next case, and he was calling the case. Wasn't no waiting around. This judge, this judge took care of business. I like that kind of guy. That's called the judge duty approach. Well, put her in the White House. Well, we'll clear up a lot of stuff. Amen. And amen. I'll leave that alone. All right. And so my nephew called me one day. He said, "Uncle Jack, I got a problem." "Now what's your problem?" "I get you out of jail. I get you out of prison. And I get you a wife." He said, "I got a problem." I said, "You're in boot camp. What are you calling me from boot camp for?" He said, "I'm in the 82nd Airborne boot camp." He said, "I got a problem." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "The guy I used to beat up in junior high school is my drill instructor." I said, "You got a problem. You're on your own. You going to come for me?" I said, "No, you need it." The instructor happened to be a Christian. He knew me too. He went to the same Christian school he did. He called me. He said, "Hey, Brother Patterson, do you remember me?" I said, "No." I said, I'm your uncle. I'm your nephew's drill instructor." He said, "What do you want me to do to him?" I said, "Run him hard, man. Run him hard." That sucker caused me a lot of problems. Many a nice way to get it. Payback is rough. Amen. But look over here at verse number 11. "Behold, I say how they reward." No, verse 10. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and the Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let them Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they returned from them and destroyed them not." Verse 11. "Behold, I say how they reward us to come and cast us about thy possessions." That land belongs to Israel, not to anybody else. "Which thou hast given us to inherit." They got it in 48, and they're going to inherit it in tribulation. All of Israel shall be saved. And everybody in this earth that wants blessings of God got to go to Jerusalem once a year. Whether you like them or not, you got to go. Or the Bible says it ain't going to rain where you live that in the millennium. Check your Bible, book of Isaiah. Now look at verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against his great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." Father, I pray that you'll bless your word of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Wash us in the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to bring you a little thought this morning on "neither know we what to do." So I'm going to bring this thought here. What to do when you don't know what to do. You ever been there? Come on. What to do when you, man, I got all the answers, but sometimes, I can't get to do, that's all, folks, I just can't get it out. And sometimes I don't have the answers, but God does. What to do when you don't know what to do? Hey, when that pink slip comes after you've been there for 30 years, and you're just a good old boy, good old girl, but you got to go. What to do when you don't know what to do when the gas, I got an RV that someone helped us get, and we paid $6 a gallon for diesel a few years ago. I still kept my meetings. I preach for nothing because I'm paying my fuel bill. I got to fill up today in that baby. And what to do when you don't know what to do? How about when your house is on fire? How about what to do when you don't know what to do? I tell one of my young men, "Hey, would you go out and take my Cadillac somebody gave us, and would you go out and change the oil? The wife and I are going on vacation, and we want to go out for about a week and vacation. We're going to go help some other kids off drugs. That's our vacation. We vacate." And I wait 3 hours for him to come back from changing oil. And I wait 4 hours. My wife said, "What is he doing, putting gold in that thing?" And I called his wife. I said, "Is your husband at your house?" She said, "Brother Patterson, I just checked the closet, and my husband's suitcases are all gone." I said, "How about your checkbook?" She said, "It's gone." And I'm not too slow, I'm not too fast, but somebody just left the home with my Cadillac. She said, "Brother Patterson, my husband stole your car." I said, "I'm going to kill him." Now, for some of you Pharisees, I'm going to kill him in Jesus' name. That's legal. That's spiritual. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, twice. Boom, boom. Duo, twice. And second law. And this guy stole my car. He took my car. Took it to down to Miami, doing the Miami nightlife. Dun, 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 doing the Miami nightlife thing. Down there acting crazy, cracking, doping, crazy. Left his wife, left his kid. Hey, what do you do when you don't know what to do? I got a hold of him, and I was going to put him in jail. I said, "No, I won't put him in jail." And I've helped that guy, how many times, Karen? About 7 or 8 times. He's 38 years old. He's got 5 kids.
He called me 2 weeks ago. He said, my wife is kicking me out. I said, finally, there is a God. Your wife's waking up. Hey, fellas, your wife will go in the ditch so many times. Hello? She wants you to get it right. She called me up. She said, Brother Parson, would you help my husband? He said, I got 5 kids. I'm running a paper route. I'm up at 3 a.m. I've been doing this for 7 years. I said, put him on the phone. Now, I can't tell you what I told him. You know that, don't you? But for $10, I'll give you the conversation piece outside. Amen. That's off the record. Amen. That's a cop talk. Amen. Brother Winkle likes that kind of thing. I got to talk to this guy. Amen. And I like his name. He'll wink at stuff. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Remember that verse over in the Old Testament, the time that God didn't wink at it? You know, where he covered it up with a wink. Amen. And this guy, by the way, this guy was an adopted boy. And the parents who adopted him abused him, broke his collarbones, killed his brother, broke his bones, put him in the hospital when he's 2 and 3 years old. And all his life, listen to me, he had an offense and an anger toward that dad. He comes to my program, I got him when he was 22. He walked in my office from my room there, and we had our first ministry out in Washington after I left Hammond, out in Othello, Washington. He walked in. I said, well, I said, hey. I said, I called him. I said, hey, attitude, how you doing? He said, you call me attitude? Yeah, you got attitude. I looked at him, and see, people hate when preachers just read them like a book. I said, yeah, you got chips on your shoulders. He said, how do you know that? I said, you stuck on something. I was just trying to cut up with him. He says, he's with my nephew, and long story short, about 5 minutes later, my nephew said, this guy just got saved. I said, really? He said, why? He was so mad at you because you read him like a book. He said, I took him outside and led him to Christ. I said, well, get him back in. Now let me teach him the Christian life. He comes back in there, and I said, who's in your life that you're mad at? He said, my parents. It's when the last time you talked to him? It's been years. I said, how did you leave the last time you talked to him? He said, I was angry for what they did to me. I said, won't you go there and tell them that you love them and you want to forgive them? He called him up. I had a guy I take with him. Went over to the house. Called him up. The dad said, don't ever come to my house again. I'll kill you. The mother's there, and she cried. And she said, you're trying to get your life straightened out. Crack cocaine, a lot of anger in his life, come back to the ranch. He said, I did what you told me to do. And my dad didn't want to hear it. I said, okay, but you got it out of your system. Do you think? but he still got it on, and I have to deal with him, Hey, Brother Jack, when do you ever give up on him? By the grace of God, I don't give up on him. I want to kill him, but I don't give up on him. I want to sit on him and squash him. Because they irritate me. They waste my time. But God loves them. And John chapter 13:1, Bible says, and Jesus loved them unto the end. Don't you think Peter frustrated the Lord? You think you lived a perfect Christian life? You smiled all the time when you should have smiled? No, you haven't. Neither have I. Jesus out there in that courtyard, and there's this guy who, the guy who he's going to let write 2 books denying him. Don't you ever think you're not going to deny him? You could. I don't ever deny the Lord. You ever pass by folks and he told you to witness to and you don't witness? I got my hand up. Any other sinners in here? Hello. Welcome to humanity. He had one deny him. Had one doubted him. Thomas the doubter. Isn't that something? The message that Thomas needed. You know what Sunday is? You know what Sunday means? It means it's the resurrection day, 6-7 days after the resurrection. In other words, 2,000 years ago, this Sunday morning, Saturday night, Jesus Christ got up from the grave. You know why you come to church on at least Sunday morning? To show that you believe in the resurrection. That's what Sunday morning, the first day of the week. First day of the week is not Monday, it's Sunday. Hello? He said upon the first day of the week, give your offering to what? Support the work. I tithe to be honest. I give to show my love. Well, I just give more than tithe. You give 10% under the law. I'm under grace. Hello. And by the way, it's all his anyways. It's all his anyways. Hey, you know what Thomas missed? Hey, the first Sunday after the resurrection? Hey, the guy who doubted the most? You know what Jesus preached on? How not to doubt. Hello. Hey, man, it's that service you missed, the one you need the most. Preacher, what do you say? I'm saying life is going to come up there and fill you up. Go in the courtrooms. I've argued in front of judges about 200 times. Not as much as Dave did, but I've walked in courtroom after courtroom after courtroom after courtroom after courtroom, getting young people who try to keep them out of prison, keep mom and dads out of prison. I do a lot of work with the Amish. You know, there's an epidemic among the Amish people with Oxycontin and meth labs. I go in front of those courts and judges, and the judge says, Reverend Patterson, they always want to call you Reverend. Reverend Patterson, he said, convince me why I should let this boy come to one of your homes. And the prosecutor speak up, and he said, Mr. Patterson, what's your track record? You all want to ask him, what's your track record? Hello? Hey, you come to Jesus Christ, he'll take care of that and get things right with God and turn that thing around. But sometimes I don't have an answer for him. I come before that judge and say, Judge, I want to take this young man. I want to put him on a steady diet of the Word of God. He said, on the what? On the Word of God. Pacific Garden Mission gave me an honorary doctor's degree. I have another doctor degree from another school, but it closed down. And so I got two doctor degrees. I'm a paradox. And I went in front of a judge one time, and the judge says, well, we don't use honorary doctor's degrees. I said, well, Ronald Reagan had three of them. Martin Luther King had four of them. She said, next question. I ain't worried about politics. I'm here to help everybody. And I had six little black girls from Haiti. Some of the sharpest kids I've ever had in my life. Brother Jack Mon, let's go out and get a cheeseburger, Mon. Come on, brother Jack Mon. They talk like that, Mom. Some of the sharpest kids I had. When I went street preaching, I put those Haitian girls next to me. They weren't afraid of nothing. Them little skinny girls, I was like, oh, I want my Haitian homies with me. Oh, brother, they got this stuff, got singing clips, oh, Jesus loved me. They have a good time out there. Enjoy your salvation in God. What are you saying? Sometimes I get the phone calls, and I don't have an answer for them. What do you do, preacher, when you don't know what to do? Let me look at the Bible, see what it says. Look at verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. We don't know how to fix it. That cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Watch it, but our eyes are upon thee. You know what God wants today? He wants to know where your eyes are at. Turn your eyes upon him, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. What God wants from you and I this morning, he wants your eyes, he wants your conscience, he wants your attention, he wants your heart cast upon him. And sometimes I don't have an answer. But God tell him, hey, believe in the Lord, trust in him, pray with him. And on them streets the other night in Detroit, and I talked to the filth, and I talked to the scum of the earth, and I just said, oh my God, give me grace to talk to these people. I don't know how to talk to them, Lord. Help me encourage them. Help me to lift them up. Help me to talk to them. I don't have an answer. As I saw the broken hearts, as I saw the perversion of a young boy wanting to be a girl, a male prostitute on the streets, help me to have the grace to talk to him like Jesus Christ would if he was here. And I talked to him. And one of them said to me, Pastor Jack, I can't imitate their voice. Pastor Jack. It was a man saying it, but a woman's voice. Why are you talking to us? You're supposed to be down here down. I said, I don't agree with what you're doing. But I come here to tell you that Jesus loves you. And there was about three of them standing there. No street lights were on. Had the lights from the trailer full of food and bottles of water. I just start singing. Jesus loves me, this I know. I didn't know what else to do. I just started singing. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah. I sang that louder than that. Jesus loves me. Oh, yeah. I kept singing because I kept feeling a bullet coming by. Yeah. I was just getting ready to go to heaven. Yeah. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I looked over at one of them transvestites. I had tears come out of his eyes, or its eyes. I just started crying. And they asked me for some more tracks. And they asked me for some more bottles of water. And they just stood there speechless. Why are you out here talking to us? Why are you out here talking to us? And they both turned around, walking in high heels and their dress on. And they're saying, can you believe that preacher was out here? Can you believe that preacher was out here? I'm saying, can I believe I'm out here? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I don't have an answer. But I try to keep my eyes on him. Brother Joe got a little girl over there, and he led her to Christ. Led another boy to Christ on the street. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, folks, when you walk out those doors this morning, I know you're going to pick up your burdens. I know the hearts are heavy. I know the hearts are heavy. I know your hearts are heavy because mine's heavy today. But I do know this. When you walk out there, there's going to be more hearts out there that are a lot heavier than yours. Some people in Covington tonight didn't sleep in the house. Hear what I said? They didn't sleep in the house. Because 2 weeks ago, before I went there, I went to the church. The preacher said, I'm going to take you over to this couple's house. They had no food in the house. Had a 6-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And I saw those blue eyes and that brown eyes. And I saw that mother open up the refrigerator just getting something. I saw butter. I think I saw an old can of Coke that was in there. How's your day going today? How you doing today? How many ate good breakfast this morning? Man, I had nice eggs. I had 3 plates of eggs. Had potatoes. Had about 5 cups of coffee. Went half and half. They didn't have that today. So I'm trying to tell you, you got it made and you don't even know it. God's been good to you. Got a check last week. You got paid. Got a nice house. Got a nice car. Your community don't have that. You know, I'm going to tell you, Pastor, today at lunchtime we're going to talk. You know, I'm going to give him an idea. I'd like for you to take all these kiddos right here and all the Brother Winkler with his Uzis and hanging aids and everything else and take them downtown on a Friday night and look down there in them old cities and just show those kids if they don't live for God, this is where they can end up. Of all the kids I sent to Papua New Guinea, of all the young men I sent over to Honduras, you know what they did? They came back. They came back changed. They didn't realize how good they had it inside the home. They didn't realize how good they had it in church. They didn't realize how good God had been good to them. They didn't realize that. They didn't realize, hey, you want to tell America? Hey, don't take them to Six Flags. Hey, take your young folks. If you don't, you can't take them to Mexico now. They'll get kidnapped. But find you a mission field somewhere. Take your kids over there and let them see God. Let them see starving kids. Let them see little babies dying on their... No. Hey, God needs somebody to rescue them. I got a young man came to me on crack cocaine, got him off of dope, named Bruce. And he said, Pastor, he said, I need a wife. I said, Bruce, you'll never find a wife with a tooth missing. Had a tooth missing in the front. He's from New York. Everything was, brother. Bruce, long story short, got saved. Served under me for about 2 years. Served with another missionary for another year or two. All of a sudden, he said, I want to be a missionary. So he wanted to go to the Philippines. He goes to the Philippines. He's 45 years old. Never been to college. Never wore a tie in his life. Still don't. And wears a pullover shirt. And I said, get a tie. I hate ties. He goes over to the Philippines. He meets a Filipino national. Young girl, never married. The pastor says, you want to marry this girl in my church? Sit under me for a year. Let me watch you. You know what the pastor was doing? He was checking out his submissiveness. He was checking out what he obeyed him. Bruce sat there. He married his Filipino. Now Bruce used to do crack cocaine and build houses for the mob in New York. Now he's going back to the missionaries as a Philippines to build an orphanage. Wait a minute. While he was in the Philippines, he come across 4 little kids out in the jungle, and he saw these 4 little kids, and he said, I need to feed these kids lunch, and he takes them to lunch. He said, Preacher, I fed all 4 of these kids for $2.50. He said, I wanted all the millions of dollars that I put up my nose with drugs. He said, I took those kids and fed them. He took his wife in hand. He said, "We made an altar in the jungle of the Philippines. I'm coming back to the Philippines, Brother Jack. I'm going to build me an orphanage for the glory of God." And he's a master builder already. His wife's good. I mean, she's good at economics and books and kind of, last time I saw him, he had a tie on. She's been working on him. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I don't have all the answers. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when your granddaughter walks out? What do you do when your grandson walks out? What do you do when cancer sits in? I don't know. My wife carries 4 diseases in her body today. What do you do when you don't know what to do? We got to keep our eyes on Him. Got to keep focused for Christ. Stay in church. Stay in the Bible. Stay in God. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You realize verse number 12, keep my eyes upon Him. Keep my eyes focused upon Him. Not on the circumstances. Not on people. Quit living off of the opinions of other people. Do you like me? I like you. Do you like me? I like you. I don't care if you don't like me. Go play in your own sandbox. Preacher, tell me, Brother Patterson, whose camp are you in nowadays? The last time I was in camp, I was in Boy Scouts. On my honor, I would do my best to do my duty. Troop 733. I'm in a camp. Last I checked, I'm supposed to be outside the camp, bearing His reproach. You know what's going to happen to some of you folks? Let me prophesy. Some of you folks right here, one of these days, your preacher's going to bring in some people to preach. And one of these days, the Holy Ghost is going to say, I want you. I want you. I want you. Ooh, yeah, I want you. I want you to go to China. I told one of my girls from Haiti, I said, God has a sense of humor. He said, he'd hire them as a missionary. Oh, Brother Jack, man, I ain't going over there, man. I'm crazy people over there. They're crazy. Why does God have a little old dope-head boy from the street gangs of Detroit? He's taken me all over this nation. Gave me a beautiful family. A great ministry all these years. And I still stand in awe. You know what I said to him last night before I went to bed? Would you use me tomorrow? Would you use me tomorrow to help the young kids? Would you use me tomorrow to help somebody struggling? I said to him, I said, Lord, would you, and I was texting another man last night about a rescue mission work and helping him. I said, Lord, would you let me stay in your vineyard, working in your vineyard? I sat back talking to your pastor today. I said, Pat, we're talking about different preachers. I said, preacher, I'm here to be your servant. What are my orders? We were taught by the greats. We were taught by the greats. This young Johnny come lately, Peacock preachers, we got on the scene today, and man, I got spoiled. And I got spoiled over listening to B.R. Lake and hey man, let me tell you something about heavens. I got spoiled listening to Dr. Robert. I got spoiled listening by Lester Rollo. I got spoiled listening by Jack. I got spoiled by those people. They're not here, but they're down inside my soul, and I want to pass that baton on to the next generation that God needs you. God needs you to come alive and go out there and help the fallen. Pick them back up. Don't kick them down. Pick them up. If you can't help them in God's dear name, don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Look at this next one. Quickly, I got to hurry. Verse 15. Look at the last part of the verse. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Look at verse 17. You should not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still. Look at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went forth to Jehoshaphat, and stood still. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Watch it. So shall you be established. Watch it. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. Oh, you're a man's man. Yeah, I know it. But God has put some preachers in my life to take off their bone and knife called a Rapala King James and just trying to peel off some of the rough edges off my life, just like you got on yours. And when your pastor comes up here, he takes his little knife. Now, he looks like I hadn't figured him out yet, but he looks like the kind of preacher that sneaks up on you. And you walk down the street saying, did he cut me? When I cut you, you don't even cut. But he's got a little bit more smoothness to him. He looks like he's got, you got the after effect cut. He said, "Man, good night. Preacher cut me with the word today. I didn't even realize. I'm bleeding. Do I get a witness here today? Somebody help me out here. What to do when you don't know what to do?" Sometimes I find me a preacher. So give me some advice. Help me out. Let me finish up with this. I heard of a young man messing his life up. My wife and I knew him. He was on the mission field. He left the field, left his wife. I heard about it. I called him. I said, "Hey, I heard you left the field." Said, "Yeah," so forth. I said, "Let me meet with you." He said, "Well, where you at?" I said, "I'm about 12 hours. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to drive over and meet you." I drove over to meet with him. I talked to him for about 2 hours. I said, "Hey, I want to meet your wife. I never met her." "Well, she's back over so-and-so." So I drove back over, met her. I said to myself, when I saw her, I said, "I'll kill this guy. This girl's a good woman." And come to find out, I want to kill him. And did nothing wrong, nothing sinful. They broke up. And I wanted to help them put their lives back together. And I got a hold of them. He said, "What do you need in your ministry?" "I need a principal. I need a bookkeeper." He said, "Well, I'm a principal. She's a bookkeeper. Can we come work for you?" And the chance of him coming working for me, he said, "Hey, man, we want to go back to the mission field." I said, "Great." Kept it quiet. No one knew. They're back on foreign field tonight. I'll just give you this hint. They don't speak English where they're at. But no one knows. I didn't tell nobody. I put them back on the field. I paid them a salary. Gave them a car. I helped them. I'm glad I knew what to do in that situation. Hey, church, you know what? You're talking to a preacher today. Sometimes I don't know what to do. And that's why I got to go to him. Some of you today, you got some heavy burdens on your heart today. Your preacher don't have the answers. Brother Patterson don't have the answers. But I know an old-fashioned altar does. "Oh, preacher, what are you saying this morning? What do you do when you don't know what to do?" I get my eyes off him. I get my eyes off my circumstances. I get my eyes off my problem. I get my eyes. Turn my eyes. I get in that book and I read that book and I cut off Hollywood. I cut off the radio. And I cut off the cell phones sometimes. My wife said, "Who are you texting now? Who are you texting now? Who are you texting? I ain't texting nobody. They're all texting me." And the Lord said, "Jack, won't you shut that off? Won't you shut off that Facebook and get your face in the book?" I wonder today, what are you carrying your burden today? You got something you can't handle? What do you say you come to an old-fashioned altar today and tell God about it? If you're here this morning, you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a hell waiting on you. Not a heaven, there's a hell waiting on you. But I got a key to get out. That's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son shed His blood for you on the cross. I kept talking last week. I'll finish with this. I preached with some Amish. These are people who left the Amish church and when we come preach the Bible. They said, "Jack, would you come teach us eternal security?" And the hardest thing I had to teach them, Pastor, is salvation is by grace. And that once you get saved, you never lose your salvation. Because you did nothing to get it, and you can do nothing to lose it. And two of the girls raised their hand. As I said, they can't say my name right. Hey, Jack, I understand eternal security now. It's all Jesus and not me. I said, "You got it. It's all Jesus Christ." Preacher, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when I go to a courtroom, as I will in 2 weeks, and try to keep a boy out of prison that I love very much, made some mistakes? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I got to get my eyes back on him. Get my eyes off my self-confidence. Get my eyes off my frailties. Get my eyes off my insecurities. And we all have them. Nod your head. We all have something about us we don't like. That's called an insecurity. I don't like being 6'9". But one day, I came across a verse. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." It dawned on me one day that God wanted me to be 6'9". And I like being 6'9". I got more bumps in my sinking head I can imagine. But I'm thankful I'm 6'9". I didn't like it. Let me tell you something. You got something about your life you don't like? Tell God about it. And you know what it is? That becomes a battle in your life. How short you are. How your ears crooked. Your eyes are a different color. Your nose are this way. You don't like your house. You don't like this. You don't like this. As they say in New York, shut up. Forget about it. I got to come to God. You don't like the car you drive. I bought a new car a couple years ago. And the first red light, I look at my wife. I said, "Hey, I don't have clip lights on top of my truck." She says, Jack, you just bought a $35,000 truck. You don't have clip lights. Enjoy the truck, okay? In Jesus' name. In other words, we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Get your eyes upon Him today. Shall we stand? Father, thank You for the Bible today. Father, pray that You take home this simple truth. What to do when we don't know what to do. I heard you bow, our eyes are closed. You say, preacher, somewhere down the line today. I see some things in my Christian life as a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know if I die right now, I know I'd go to heaven. That's your testimony. Let me see your hand. You know that you're saved this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Who said, preacher, I'm here this morning. I don't know for sure if I would die today. I don't know if I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anybody like that here today? Anybody like that here today? Who said, preacher, head bowed and eyes closed. I got some things facing my life right now, preacher. Brother Jack, I got some things facing right now. There's some things in my Christian life going on in my life and my heart. I don't know what to do. And today, God spoke to my heart about some things in my Christian life. Pray for me, preacher, would you? Here's my hand. Pray for me, pastor. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Young people. Amen. God bless you, young folk. Here, preacher, I got some things in my life today. Pray for me. I don't know what to do. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Father, I pray that You'll bless the invitation today. I pray, God, You'll speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that You'll save that soul near His tail. And Father, I pray that You'll touch the heart of a Christian, God. Help them to turn their eyes upon Thee. Shall we stand? I'll turn the service back over to Pastor. Shall we stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? I'll turn it back over to Pastor. What to do when we don't know what to do. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Take your hymn book and turn to number 105, and let's sing a couple of verses. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. God's speaking to you today. If you need to trust Him as your Savior, if you need to do some business with Him, make some things right with the Lord, we invite you to come and just kneel here at this altar. Maybe you have some friends that are struggling that you need to come pray for. Ask God to use you to reach them. If God's speaking to your heart, I want you to come while we sing on the first verse, number 105. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Sing the second. Though they are slighting Him, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. As we sing that third verse, and maybe someone else, God's speaking to you. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I don't want to go up there, and I don't want to go in front of all the people. And we kind of are hesitant. But the Lord wasn't hesitant to go to the cross for us, was He? And He may be speaking to you. If He is, don't hold back. You listen. You do what He wants you to do. And you come while we sing. On that third verse, you slip out of your place and come. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let me ask our ushers to come.